Hello and good day, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Magic: The First Pioneers Podcast. It's a pioneer podcast all about the pioneer format of MTG. I am your host, Kevin Finkel, and I'm joined here by my co-host, as well as a special guest, if you guys would like to introduce yourselves.
Hello, everybody. It's me, Ryan. I'm coming at you from the Tokyo area of Japan, and we have a guest that we've had on before today, but it's been quite a while since they've been on. So, Claudio, please introduce yourself again.
Yeah, hello. My name is Claudio. I am your Pioneer expert, if you can say something like that. I play a lot of Pioneer on MTGO. Pioneer is my favorite format, so I should have some insights for you guys.
Yeah, everyone. I think we've definitely talked about your decks. Even when you're not here, you're often topping the charts on trophies for MTGO Pioneer. And we always like to bring you on whenever we can, just to get some of your perspective, to get some of that, you know, real in the trenches, seeing what's new, what's great, what's fun, what's powerful in Pioneer. And that's exactly what we're all about. You know, Ryan and I love to talk, but we still need the experts on to really see exactly what's going on at the highest levels of Pioneer.
Yeah, so my idea for today was to kind of talk about cards that are good, but maybe don't have a home. And I thought, you know what, Claudio is really good at evaluating cards. Like when you're doing any of your decks, you know, like five color Niv or Enigma, or even now you're playing like that new blue red,
prowess. Yeah,
the prowess. And it's like, yeah, these card choices are always like really good. So we're like, well, what if there's other cards that could be really good? Maybe, you know, I think you've done a lot of testing. We want to like pick your brain, you know, and have you give us your feelings on, you know, what cards could still be good in Pioneer. So sorry if I stole your thunder there, Kevin.
No, that's perfect. And, you know, Claudio, we're kind of expecting you to be the no fun police here.
Yeah.
I know that whenever you're streaming a new deck, I feel like I'll come out and be like, oh, have you tried this new card? And you'll be like, no, that's bad. So feel free to do the same thing here. When we're saying junk, let us know that it's junk and we will be happy to move on.
Yeah. Sounds good to me.
So I kind of want Claudio to go last because I feel like his list is probably going to be the best.
Okay.
So I don't know. Do you want to go first, Kevin, or should I go first with like which?
Why don't you go ahead? Introduce what you're talking about as far as a list here.
Okay. All right. So yeah. So I'll start first. So basically, what we're going to do, everyone's going to kind of give us a list of what cards they think are good enough for Pioneer. But
well, you got to give the topic here at least first. Okay, so yeah. Let me jump into the topic. So basically, what we wanted to talk about a little bit is cards that are, you know, strong cards that aren't finding a home in Pioneer, yeah. And we're kind of wanting to just look at, you know, why doesn't this have a home? Like, is it too weak? Does it not have the support it needs? Does it just not have a deck, but it'll be powerful in the future? Anything like that. So we all kind of made a list of our top 10 of what we thought are some of the cards that need a home in Pioneer. And Ryan, you're going to start us off with your list?
Yes. Yeah. So basically, I was talking, I think, to Claudio about this the other day. He said he was going to look into cards that are kind of seeing play in Modern, maybe, that haven't seen play in Pioneer yet. And I was thinking, well, more along the lines of, you know, maybe they saw play in Standard before. Maybe they're really good and then they're just, you know, they still haven't found a home here yet. Or, you know, they don't have the the support yet. So anyways, here's my list of cards I think should see play in Pioneer, and then I'll explain my reasoning, you know, right after I say each one. So my first one is Liliana the Last Hope. It's the 3-mana planeswalker, and it does the -2/-1 as their +1. It puts, I think, 2 or 3 into the graveyard as their minus. And then you can return a creature card from your graveyard. And then also the ultimate is like you get to put X2 zombies into play. Seems like a great control card, a great mid-range card, also a great enabler. I don't know where it goes yet. Should I just do my whole list and then you guys can give me your thoughts?
What do you think, Claudio?
I think I kind of like speaking about each card individually.
Yeah.
That way get lost.
Definitely. Okay, yeah. So what do you think about Liliana and why she's basically not seeing any play?
Yeah, like, I think Liliana's playability is largely tied to, like, the +1. Especially, like, if the +1 is killing a lot of creatures in the format, like, maybe that's a card you want to play because it's very cheap, it's very punchy to mana elves. Mm-hmm. Or if your deck cares about the graveyard somehow, like, this card uses it to see play, like, in the Sultai Delirium deck. A little bit, because like it feels Uro. So I think for the card, like the card is definitely good for it to see play. I would expect like a Graveyard Madras midrange deck to emerge.
But,
yeah, I think that's part of it. I think we need more creatures. You know, black creatures after you get past 1 and 2 CMC get to be not great. And you, I feel like you were saying the first ability is what's really good, the minus if it's killing things. But I feel like if I'm never getting value off of her minus, then she's just not quite good enough.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And I just don't think that we have mid-range decks that are running enough black. And if they are, they're often running Luris, which you can't run alongside her. So that's definitely been an issue.
Yeah, I would think that, like, you know, there's so many other Graveyard Matters decks in the format. And yes, there's a lot of hate going around. But they still function. And I think you just got to be able to find out how this deck with Liliana can still function, even if the graveyard is taken out of the equation.
Yeah, you have to remember that like she's a kill condition by herself as well. So like even if they are hating her graveyard, she still is a threat.
Yeah, because if she ultimates, she wins the game, basically.
Generally, yeah.
Okay. All right, so my next card then... Anafenza the Foremost. So this last season, Connor Mann on MTGO has been playing the white-black humans. And it's been pretty good, actually. It plays Luris, though, which kind of stops you from playing any 3-drops. But I think that Anafenza the Foremost would be really good, you know, maybe if that deck switched over to Abzan. You know, as like a splash with the green. So for anybody that doesn't know, Anafenza the Foremost is a 4/4 human that's a legendary human. And
human warrior.
Is it a human warrior? Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't know if you need to read every card off. You know, I think that most of these, this is a little bit of a, you know, people should know most of these cards. They were cards that were popular.
Yeah, so it's a 4/4, makes your other creature stronger when you attack, basically, and it exiles cards from anywhere. It's a great anti-graveyard card for creature decks, you know, that puts stuff in the yard. So yeah, why isn't the same play? Why don't we see Abzan humans more?
Yeah, like, so I think Anafenza is a beef creature. It has relevant abilities, but like she's a bit similar to cards like Steelleaf Champion. In the sense that it's a 3-drop with no value attached, so no haste nor ETB. So I think for an offense to see play like in a human strategy like you were talking about, we would need like a noble hierarchy equivalent in Pioneer, so you can play her on turn 2. That's mostly it, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, so she can't... You know, she's not fast enough to be an amazing clock, and, you know, she loses against 1-for-1 decks that can trade with her, and then, you know, she can't played with Luris, of course, and, you know, yeah, so that's why it's not in the humans deck, is because you can't play that, that's a Luris deck. And then I think that if you want her for the graveyard hate, like, there's just, at 3 mana, she's too slow. Like, if you wanted a graveyard hate card, you're going to play something that's cheaper and sticks around better.
Yeah, I would think this is more against, like, the... I don't know, then not so much the mirror matches, but like those other decks, like Mono Black, it would just totally destroy, you know, if you get that onto the battleground or the battlefield, and then any of that those cards with recursion just stay exiled.
Well, and Cletus does that a lot better.
It's at 4 mana, though? And it's not human type. It's
still
a lot. Yeah, like, still would be great against a deck like Jund Sacrifice if you're playing like an aggressive strategy, because she's put some pressure and hates at the same time. Like, usually the creatures that do that are not going to be that great, but they are what you want. So, like, Archon of Emir is an example. Like, it's not a great creature on size, but it has relevant abilities.
So, one more question about Anafenza. You know, we always talked before about how the mana base wasn't good enough, but now we have a lot of the new cards, the modal land cards and stuff. I think the mana is good enough, even though we're still kind of missing, you know, some of the other fast lands.
Yeah, like, especially if you are playing, like, a tribal deck, you have the territory and claiming territory, so your mana is pretty good.
Yeah, so it's not so bad. That was the thing that was holding her back before. Yeah. Okay, so my next card, we saw a lot of play. Okay, this card saw a lot of play in Frontier when that thing was a, or sorry, when that format was a thing. Atarka's Command was really good. It's you know, +1/+1 to everything, and basically we had it in the prowess decks, you know, with like Soulscar Mage and Monastery Swift Spear, and I feel like there's more cards that can take advantage of that now, and I'm wondering, you know, why isn't this relevant? Why isn't that +1, that 3 damage, you know, the no life gain? Why don't more people play this? I think it's definitely playable in Pioneer. Why doesn't it have a home?
Yeah, like the card kind of has a home already. That is the Gru Bushwalker deck that saw a lot of play like a some time ago. But I think that, like, it's a go-wide deck with the Burning Tremissaries and Bushwalkers that mm-hmm. is playing like a bunch of Rabble Masters to make an extra body so the +1 matters. Mm-hmm. And I think that card, that, like, the deck is pretty fine, but it can be hated out by a lot of sweepers and stuff. So it's kind of vulnerable.
Yeah, I think Atarka's Command, one of the first cards I thought of when you brought up this topic, because, you know, it does seem like green-red go-wide just hasn't been good enough. Mm. And I think that part of it is opportunity costs, that the red-white decks get to play Lurrus, they get to play some much better sideboard cards, they get to play Chain to the Rocks. So that's really the cost. And then I do think that Claudio had a good point that sweepers are really good in Pioneer compared to the creatures, which means that, like, going wide, you know, playing something like a Dragon Fodder just doesn't feel quite good enough.
Mm.
Yeah, so when you see the Gru decks in play, they're usually going bigger, like playing Gargaroths and Dragons. So mm-hmm. the Attacker's mm-hmm. Command doesn't really fit that strategy.
Okay. So it has seen play in Pioneer, you're saying. I don't think it was the right deck, so it's still looking for a better deck to find play in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because like when the card first came out, it was seen playing like in Burn, if I remember correctly. So, mm-hmm. but like that was in Modern. The mana base in Pioneer is not so super free to go through colors. So mm-hmm. that's I think that for the card maybe to see playing Burn, it needs like another green card that Burn really wants to play. I don't know what that could be, but that's probably the best chance.
Okay. All right, my next one, Chandra Awakened Inferno. I mean, of course, I'm guessing, you know, it's not going to see play because it's 6 mana. That's like one of the big drawbacks in Pioneer, is the format's so much faster, but she seems really good. I think she should have a home somewhere, maybe in a sideboard or some kind of mid-range deck. But what do you guys think about Chandra Awakened Inferno?
I do see her occasionally in the sideboard of red decks, you know, like some Fires decks I'll see her in. Some other red rampy decks, you know, just as an occasional hate against control decks, which those decks have trouble with.
I mean,
I think she's seeing about the right amount of play.
Yeah, but I mean, like, I guess before, I mean, she seems like she would have been great in like chunky red before that was totally destroyed.
Yeah, and I think we'll definitely touch on big red. I think that both Claudio and I were looking at, you know, why the red mid-range decks are slowing down so much, or not existing so much, really.
Why they're not playable.
Maybe.
Yeah, Chandra is like the classic narrow sideboard card that is going to see play here and there. Like, she's not a great walker by herself in most matchups. It's most that can't be counter clause. That's like her strong points.
Yeah, exactly. Like the +2/+2/+2 is just so hard to kill.
I do want to say my favorite thing, you know, I was playing against a blue-black opponent, and I cast Ironcrag Feet turn 4, you know, made 7 red mana, and they're never going to counter Ironcrag Feet, but then you play Chandra, and they're just like, oh, well, I guess I should have countered Ironcrag
Feet.
Yeah,
that's always fun. I played that deck quite a bit. It was nice. Like, I saw someone playing, like, a spicy Monogreen Devotion list that was playing, like, a couple of this Chandra, because they could cast Chandra because of Oath of Nissa, without actually running red sources, and I found that quite interesting.
So yeah, maybe, that's kind of...
maybe there's some like sneaky ways of playing her.
Oh
yeah, they could probably make red mana with
Burning Tree as well.
Burning Tree Emissary, yeah, Burning Tree Emissary, and especially with Nykthos.
Yeah.
I think
interesting.
You know, ever since like we banned, you know, all of the. What was it? What's his name? The one that made Elks. What was his name?
Oh. Okko.
Yeah, ever since we banned that, like, it feels like Oath of Nissa has kind of seen a lot less play.
Yeah, so it's basically Mono Green Devotion that plays it. I think I have this card in my list, or I had it at some point. Like, it's really, really strong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Next card I wanted to talk about was Dragonlord Atarka. This is more like something that was really good in Standard. It was good ramp targets. Again, I know we have better ramp targets now, but I like the fact that it's a 8/8 trample flyer, and, you know, it deals damage to creatures or planeswalkers when it enters the battlefield. So it's kind of like, you know, it doesn't just like sit there and die to removal. You get some value off it when you play it. But I don't know. I mean, like, it seems good enough. Especially we got better dragons now in Pioneer. And we were kind of talking about dragon decks, over, I think it was last week or a few weeks ago as well. So is it good enough for Pioneer now?
I mean,
no, it's a card I love to play. No, I don't think it's good enough.
I mean, if there was like a red-green actually true ramp deck with like cultivates and stuff, I could see playing Dragonlord Atarka as like a catch-up card against aggro.
Mm.
Oof. In like the way Harnet Queen was played, but I'm not sure which one would you play actually.
Mm-hmm.
Or like Planeswalker Xenagos. I remember that deck in Standard.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Something that just cheats them all into play, and you just put like your top seven cards into the battlefield. Yeah, okay. All right, then my next one. Again, this was a really powerful card in Standard. Elspeth, Sun's Champion. So that's the 6-mana Elspeth that puts lots of soldiers into play and also kills everything that has 4 power or higher. So why doesn't Elspeth see play? Is it the same problem as Chandra? Or
I think Elspeth is a bit outdated now as a card. I think she doesn't see play because mostly she's weaker than other options.
Yeah, I think that Planeswalker removal is a lot better now. You know, usually you could only kill a Planeswalker with creatures, and she was very good at stopping creatures from attacking her.
Mm-hmm.
I think the other problem is that you can't really play a slow white deck without also playing blue, and then you can just play the 5-mana Teferi, who's probably, for the most part, better.
Yeah.
Or even cards like the Gideon Ally of Zendikar, or like the Elspeth that escapes.
Mm-hmm.
Because like they're cheap and they are recursive to some extent, so like they're less powerful than Elspeth, but being 2 mana cheaper means a lot.
So yeah, I was actually thinking, because I mean, actually Gideon's also on my list, by the way. Mm-hmm. Now, he hasn't really seen any.
Okay, talk Gideon.
But you know, especially with the new card Mila, you know, the Luca backside card. Having cards out there that protect your planeswalkers, that make it harder to kill them, that can also increase the loyalty counters. I think that maybe there's something there, you know, with Mila now, but you guys don't think so, huh?
Yeah, I don't think Mila is super great. Maybe if you can, like, try to use it in a reanimation shell, but I don't have high hopes for that.
Okay. So Gideon as well, what do you guys think of Gideon? Is he just not good enough? I mean, I thought we had like a lot of go-wide strategies, like green-white, I think, is getting bigger now. Mm-hmm, I haven't seen it in any sideboards, though.
Well, we kind of don't have much go-wide. And again, it's easier to kill planeswalkers without having to go through the creatures.
Yeah, you get the -4.
You're talking about a good point, actually, because like some people are trying to port a deck from Historic into Pioneer now. A green-white company that's kind of a hate bear deck.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's playing the PV card, Archon of Emedia, and, like, they usually play Gideons in the sideboard to beat sweepers.
Mm-hmm.
That's mostly where I can see Gideons in play these days, like, as a sideboard card for, like, this kind of decks.
I mean, also, like, if you want to play a lot of one-toughness creatures, and you're playing against, like, the Jund Sacrifice deck that's just going to ping everything and kill everything, you know, putting down the Gideon could make token decks viable, maybe
in the future. Yeah, like the deck, the green white deck, for example, it has a lot of one toughness creatures, so that's a good play pattern there. So you can protect your PVs and your elves.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, another one. I don't know if you'd want it in. You probably wouldn't want it in the Naya deck, Winota, right?
You don't
like in a sideboard?
No.
Yeah, I think so. Like, mostly, I think they use the... they prefer to use, what's the name of the card? Toski for kind of that purpose, because it draws a lot of cards.
Mm-hmm.
But like it's, yeah, the home that Gideon had before was the Heliod deck. So if that makes a comeback someday, somehow, like as a life gain strategy or something, like Mono White Devotion, Gideon should see play in that deck.
So it centers around Ballista getting unbanned. Yeah. All right, I got a couple more real quick. Emrakul. We haven't seen any big Planeswalker, any big Eldrazi decks at all. I mean, it still seems like a really strong thing to do to put a 13-13, you know, flying trample card into play. Why isn't... Oh, and she takes control of someone's turn. Why isn't it seeing any play? Why isn't it good enough? It seems good.
Yeah, I think the Uruban killed the chances Emrakul had to see play, because it actually saw play as a one-off in Sultai Delirium.
Mm-hmm. Which killed which card?
The Uruban, like, because now you have no reason to play Delirium anymore, kind of. But
Uro getting banned.
Yeah. I was actually trying a Jund Delirium deck with Croxus. I'm not sure how good that deck is yet, but like I was playing a bunch of Satyr Wayfinders, like the typical cards you would expect to see in Delirium. Mm-hmm. But like, yeah, Emrakul is still, in my opinion, one of the strongest top ends you could have in a midrange deck. But it's not super easy to support because it's 30 mana. So, yeah.
So, I got a quick question. So, what's that deck with the Sultai Ultimatum? It has like Omniscience, right? You can play any card from your hand.
So usually they don't play Omniscience, is what I've mostly seen recently. They're going more for, you know, big Planeswalkers, maybe, you know, Planeswide Celebration, extra turn cards.
But you put two into
I think they're less on the Omni and Omnipotence. He's also not a target. He's not a legal target for the Ultimatum. Okay. It has to be a mono-colored spell.
Okay. That's too bad.
Or she's not a target.
It? Yeah. but yeah, okay. I see. I think she's strong, but it's too bad. I'm hoping to see, you know, some deck use Emrakul in the future.
Yeah, like I think Traverse Shell is the strongest place you could play Emrakul. So if that gets the playing a deck with Traverse the Overworld, sells some self mill cards, like Satyr Wayfinder and cards like that. So if that gets better in the future, like maybe with the Liliana we talked about.
Yeah, and you know, like that's funny because Traverse is a card that sees play in Modern, at least at some points, and you know, isn't really seeing play in Pioneer much at all. I think a big part of that is that in Modern it has to have three cards in your graveyard, you know, plus the fetch land, and then in Pioneer it's actually four cards types in your
graveyard. For example, if they print a card like Mishra's Bauble or something like that puts like a difficulty to find for free in the graveyard. Traverse could be like spiking popularity suddenly.
Yeah. Alright, two more for me. Nicol Bolas, the Ravager. That's the Grixis, you know, 4/4 that makes people discard, and then you can flip it for 7 mana and turn into a planeswalker on the backside. Seems powerful, seems good. You know, you get instant value off of it. You know, it can survive a board wipe or removal if you have the I believe, is it Sorcery Speed, or can you play that at any time? Do you guys know?
You mean the flip side?
Yeah, to activate, is that
Yeah, anytime. Anytime,
So it seems strong. I haven't seeing any play in Pioneer, though.
Yeah, that it usually to see a lot of play in Nive, actually, because it was like the best alternative condition you could find of Bring to Light. But now with Valky, it's like with Elspeth, the card got outdated.
Yeah.
Now you can just get Valky, and I don't think Nicol Bolas is that good anymore.
And like a lot of these cards, that's kind of what happened, I think, is like they were good, just something better came along.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that happens sometimes.
And Grixis as an archetype hasn't seen really much play.
So I think definitely we need to... Grixis needs more love. Just like Mardu needed more love. And they got some good love, I think, from Strixhaven. So,
They still need more love.
Yeah, they still do.
Like, to build right. a, like Grixis, for example, you really need try like the Grixis Triumph to like yeah. make the mana yeah. good, especially if you are going to play like a slower deck. So yeah. maybe if that comes along at some point, like Nicobalus can see some play.
Yeah, I think we were talking about that. Once those Triumphs come out, we're going to see so many new decks. All right, my last card then, Liliana, Dreadhorde General. Again, I love my big 6-drop Planeswalkers. I think I talked about 3 today. So again, she just seems really strong. You get to draw a card whenever one of your creature dies, and the ultimate is just, it's backbreaking. And I thought, you know, with Turgrid, you know, the new Turgrid card, whenever a creature, so whenever a player sacrifices something, you know, get to bring that into the battlefield on your side. This seems like a really good card in combination with that.
So, yeah, like, I was trying to make the Sultai Ultimatum deck work in Pioneer, so I was not trying to play Liliana as a fair card. I was mm-hmm. trying to combo her with Vorinclex, and I think that's, like, the most likely home for her. Because, like, with mm-hmm. Vorinclex, you can just ultimate her on the spot, winning the game, basically.
Yeah. Is she like one of the top choices for that deck? Because I know I've seen it a little bit in Historic, but I haven't seen it too much.
Yeah, like the typical pile you get is like Valky, Vorinclex, and Liliana.
Okay.
They can't give you Vorinclex and a Walker because you ultimate either one they give you. So you get to play Liliana and Valky for 7 mana, and that's pretty good, like as a value play.
Mm-hmm. How good is the Sultai Ultimatum deck in Pioneer right now?
So I played like a bunch of games with it, and I found the deck to be pretty good against other midrange decks, but I was suffering a lot against Burn, because I was trying to play with Yorion, and the deck is a bit inconsistent, so they can run you over pretty fast. I was trying to fix that at the moment, but I think it has potential.
Okay, so could see more play in the future if the deck finds out how to fix that problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so.
All right. Well, Kevin, how about you? You want to move on to your top 10, and then we'll pick it apart and give you some ideas. Still there, Kevin? You still there, Claudio?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay, sorry. You're dealing with the doggies?
Yeah, I was dealing with the dog for a second. All right, so that's your list of 10. You know, we spent about half an hour on that, so maybe we need to go a little bit quicker on the rest of us if we want to. No, I know. Do you want me to go next here with what I was seeing as cards that I'm like? And I think a lot of mine, you know, some of mine are they were good in Standard, some of mine are they were good in Modern, some kind of in between. I'm going to start off with one that was banned in Standard, is Lucky Clover and kind of the adventure cards. I've just never seen that be a deck in Pioneer, and I'm kind of wondering if you guys have any input on why that's missing, or what it's missing to be a good deck. Because, you know, even when Lucky Clover got banned, Adventures was still 100% a deck in Standard.
I don't have a good answer for you. I have been meaning to try this deck for a while now, but I never get around to actually building it. But I think the card is definitely strong for sure.
Now, wasn't there like that Possibility Storm deck that was playing like mostly, adventure cards? I mean, couldn't you just like, build like a hybrid version of that with Lucky Clover?
Yeah, that maybe. Yeah, you know, that I don't be like one direction, but I really want to build it with Omnath like it was in Standard.
Oh yeah.
Like play Fae of Wishes, all the good cards, like be like a more of a big mana deck.
Mm-hmm.
That looks really strong to me, but I don't know why people don't play it. It looks fine because like you're going to be good against aggro because you have Lovestruck Beast and Bone Crusher, and you can go over the top of decks like me very easily because of Fae of Wishes.
Yeah, I think it just needs more testing. I think it needs more people to try it out. A lot of these cards, like a lot of these newer sets, I mean, we all know that Eldraine is like incredibly overpowered. So I think people just need to be able to bring this over to Pioneer and try it out. And I think there's just hasn't been a lot of chances to do that, since we kind of lost paper and everybody's just playing on MTGO and stuff like that. When when Arena comes out on when Pioneer comes out on Arena, I think a lot of people will have this deck, have these cards, and they will play that on Arena. So I think it'll make a comeback. I think it's just waiting right now.
Yeah, you see that a lot. Like, for example, why Rogues doesn't see play in Pioneer? But I don't think because it's not good. It's mostly because I don't think people try to play it.
Yeah. But a lot of people play it in Historic because they had all the cards from Standard, so...
And we get Thoughtseize.
Yeah, good.
All right, so my next one's one that I keep trying to find a spot in the deck for it, because I keep thinking that, you know, it's such a strong card and doesn't really have a home right now, is Gurmag Angler.
Mm.
You know, again, we don't have fetches to fill the graveyard, but I still think that it's often going to be a 1-mana 5-5 a little bit later into the game, and surprising that it doesn't see any home, especially now that Teferi is gone, and Teferi was definitely a big enemy to this card. Mm-hmm.
You know, we also lost Uro, you know, so there's less reasons to, you know, have to use your cards in your graveyard.
I actually played a lot of a deck that used both. It was the Dredgeless deck. I played Gurmag Angler to sack it to Devastator of Provinces, like the merge card.
Nice.
So, like, that's the kind of deck that this card wants to see playing. Because it's a cheap creature to trigger, delve with the useless cards. Because usually the only relevant cards you have is like the Prized Amalgamous and the Creeping Chills. So everything else you don't need in your graveyard. So just play a bunch of Stitcher Suppliers and like delve the everything away for the Angler.
Yeah.
Yeah, I used to like Angler in Dredge. You know, it also makes the aggro matchup a lot better, and that one could be medium before.
Yeah.
But is there no other home for it, you think?
I think if that's, like we said, you know, about Traverse the Uvenwald and Emrakul earlier, you know, if we ever do get a Delirium deck again or something similar to that, I think it would see play in there. Maybe Tassigar instead, but...
Yeah, I would play Tassigar in a deck that's more a bit more mid-rangey.
Yeah. All right, next one I've got is something that's been really strong in Modern recently, is Emry, Lurker of the Loke. And, you know, I've also been seeing it with, like, Paradox Engine and things like that in Historic a lot. And just really hasn't had a home for quite a while in Pioneer that I've seen. You know, I want to say maybe Kinnan combo, but I don't think that's been much of a thing.
Mm.
I'm wondering if there's just anything else we can be doing with this, fair or unfair.
I mean, Kethis is banned, otherwise she'd be in there, right?
Yeah, that's kind of true. Like, the big home for this card is banned.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, like, the Paradox Engine deck was really strong because, like, you would play, like, Tamiyo and Emry as self-mill cards, and you would just have Uru in there. So that the ban of Uru was like a big thing as well.
Mm.
Do we just need some better eggs, like Historic?
Yeah, because like in Modern, she's really good as a card by herself because you have the Bauble and you have Engineered Explosives. That's a big one. So you get to board wipe every turn. So you kind of need like those free artifacts that give you value every turn for her to supply a team.
Okay. So maybe in the future.
Yeah.
The next one I had is something that I haven't seen in a while, is Court of Calling. You know, we used to have Modern decks that would, you know, combo off, and maybe that's just what it's missing, is that it doesn't have a combo to go with it. But it does seem strange that we've got one of the better, you know, not banned in Modern ways to find any creature, and it's not seeing any play. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, wait, like...
Does it...
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Yeah, like the decks that Court of Calling typically see plays is the like combo creatures, like you said, or elves. So if either of those becomes viable for some reason, like they put in Elvish Arc Druid or something like that, or Wall of Roots in Pioneer, that I think Court of Calling could see play in those decks.
I mean, would you say that usually Court of Calling is played, you know, when you want something bigger than 3 mana, because Collected Company only hits 1, 2, or 3 mana, right? And most decks will play 4 of those and then just play no Court of Callings. But before there was kind of like a mixture. I think like when Modern, you had like the Abzan combo deck, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so like you said. they usually play like every to get like 3 2 drops, not higher. This is mostly because like you, if you have Card of Calling, you can get away with playing like one offs,
mm-hmm.
like the one Spike Feeder that you need to combo or something like that. The one Arcadian of Tune, like that's a higher drop, but you get what I mean.
Yeah. So yeah, I think we're just kind of lacking the combo creatures at the moment, to be honest.
That probably makes sense. So it's maybe another one of those in the
future. Like for example, I tried a lot of elves when Kaldheim released. So I like to try a lot of decks like every time a new deck releases, a new set.
Mm-hmm.
And like I was playing Card of Callings in my elves deck to find Shaman of the Pack. And the deck was decent, but not great. So if they print more elves in the future, that could be a good home for it.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. I think especially with the new one that can make one elf
turn. Oh, that was really good.
That's nice when you can cord on their turn because it counts as a second elf.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the next one I have is another kind of build around, and a card that I always love to see and just hasn't gotten a chance to do anything is Hero of Precinct 1. I love these in standard, like Esper and other colors. And it, you know, whenever you play a multicolored spell, you make a 1/1 human soldier, I want to say. And it's just a 2-drop. So it's a build around. It's asking us to play multicolored decks, which we're doing, but this really hasn't seen any play that I know of.
Yeah, I think, I mean, for me, you know, like I said earlier, Connor was playing like that black-white humans deck, and there's been a lot of really good, and we had, Silver Quill, whatever it's called, Silencer and stuff.
Silencer? Yeah, that one's good.
That deck's playing a lot of multicolored cards, and like I said, if we go to 3 colors... If any 3-color humans deck becomes viable, I think this will be in there.
Honestly, Reflector Mage would probably be in the same conversation. That's not seeing play at all.
Yeah, like an Esper deck would be fine. The Pirate as well that steals something at 4 mana might be, you know, good with that. Mm. What were you saying?
Hostage Taker is the one you were talking about.
Yeah, Hostage Taker. Yeah. But like Judith would be another one if you did like Mardu. There's tons of stuff like an Afenza and Abzan. So yeah,
would help this card is something like a Champion of the Parish, because you could make like the human tokens matter. So it was worth to build around.
Oh, Champion's a 3
mana. So there's not really any build arounds in the right colors, because they're, you know, the 1-drop. There's Thalia's Lieutenant, but that's 2 mana that doesn't trigger it. So then you're kind of, it's awkward to play together.
Yeah, but Champions, like you guys were saying, like humans has a bunch of good gold 3-drops, like General Kudro, Mantis Rider, Reflector Mage, an Afenza, Sin Collector. Like maybe you could do something there.
Maybe we just need a, like you were saying, we might need a dork that can help us get these.
Yeah, like a Noble Hierarch would be great.
Modern Humans.
Is Noble Hierarch a human? Oh. I never remember. I know she's a noble.
It's the one that taps for bunt colors.
It's human,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I'm remembering if it's human.
The Noble Hierarch is human, right?
Yeah, it's a human.
Yes, it is. Human Druid, there we go.
Well, I mean, it's too, I don't know.
I mean, it could be like a dark for a specific tribe. Like, there's an elf that only makes mana for elves, for example.
Yeah.
It could be only make mana for humans.
There we go.
That'd be
do
cool.
Do it.
I'd be down.
Yeah, I think it's very fine to print like powerful cards, but if they're narrow enough where they don't take over the format, it's fine.
Yeah. Like that Liliana, like the Vampire Sorin. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like that.
One deck. That's a great
design.
I love that design. So the next one I have is kind of, I'm kind of grouping two here, but the one I was thinking of is Stoke the Flames, is a card that just was so good in standard. Zero play in Pioneer, not even a little bit of play. And I kind of with it, just thinking like the go wide tokens strategies, you know, like Jeskai Ascendancy, Stoke the Flame at the time was such a good combination. Mm. And haven't seen anything like that in Pioneer.
I think the only time I saw Jeskai Ascendancy in play was like people trying to combo with it.
Yeah. Now, so there was that combo on here. I was looking more about like the fair usages of it.
Yeah, like, for example, Stoke the Flame and Jeskai Ascendancy as payoffs for going wide, I think are outdone by Winota these days, because, like, Winota is a pretty good payoff for going wide. So...
Yeah. I was going to say Stoke the Flames is really good if you can make a lot of, you know, tokens early on or, you know, a lot of small creatures early on. But Claudio said, you know, Winota is really the only deck that's doing that right now. There's nothing, everything else you kind of want to be able to block. You need to have something there on turn one, two, or three. You can't really be tapping stuff, you know, early on, you know, or even like on their turn to kill something. Because if you don't have a way to protect yourself later on, then, you know, you're just leaving yourself wide open.
Yeah, and it's funny because you can just see the parallels between when this was standard and now. Like, this card saw play with Goblin Rebel Master, and now Goblin Rebel Master sees play with Winota. Because instead of tapping your goblins to do 4 damage, you get to put, like, Marauders into play.
Somehow that's a little bit better, yeah.
Yeah, but I like it, though. I mean, I was telling you about my Red-White Dwarves deck, you know, with Magda. I like that type of effect. If we get better 1 and 2 drop Dwarves in the future, maybe you could see play in that type of deck, kind of an aggressive Dwarves deck that taps and then puts, you know, the treasure tokens in the play. I know it's janky, but it's possible.
I was really impressed by Magda. I was trying to play a Paradox Engine deck, and like she's definitely really powerful, but like the tribe doesn't have support right now, but like that card is really good.
Wasn't there that card we were looking at, the like Plarg, Dean of Chaos, and Naban, where it untaps all your creatures?
Yes.
Maybe we'll find a way to work that with Stoke. But all right, I'm going to go to my next one, which was, you know, in a way, another card that was banned in Standard is the energy cards were just so good. You know, I know they're very self-contained. There's not other cards. Maybe I'm already shooting myself in the foot with this one. But Rogue Refiner just seems like it should still be seeing play. It's a 3/2 that draws a card.
Yeah, I think the card is really weak, as you said. But for it, it's kind of tied to the artifact, Marvel.
Yeah,
like if there's a Marvel deck, that's probably Rogue Refiner is probably going to be in it. So
I actually wanted to put Aetherworks Marvel on this list.
I kind of did this, like I cheated a little bit. I put some cards like in packages because like they can only see play together mostly.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's...
I'll keep going, you know, just keep us moving. So I know this is another one where it's me being nostalgic for when this card was good, but Avacyn, you know, the Shadows Over Innistrad Avacyn, 5 mana flash, 4/4 flying, vigilance, plus the flip ability. There's so much good text on this card. It seems like the kind of thing that should have lasted forever as just a staple and has not seen any play at all. What would it need to see play?
Can I go first? So like, you know, we have spirits, right? And then they kind of like shifted to the side. There's some versions of it that are playing the bird that makes all flying creatures cheaper. Yeah. And you know what I'm talking about? She makes all the things
cheaper. Watcher of the Spheres.
Yeah. And it gets +1/+1 whenever you play that. That's where I would have put maybe Avacyn, you know, in play either as like, you know, the top end or maybe like in the sideboard. But then we got the new printing of Lavala, I want to say. The 3/3
It's like the Selfless Spirit Limvala, right? It has kind of the same ability.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It kind of seems better, I think.
Avacyn has the element of surprise, right? She was really good against Ras because she's not there on the board to like warn your opponent. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of the thing. Like she doesn't get killed by Shadow's Verdict. That's important. That's interesting. Mm-hmm. Like we were talking earlier about the Green White Company deck, and people play Avacyn in the sideboard of the deck.
Okay.
So it's starting to see play.
Yeah, she doesn't save the rest of your team from Shadow's Verdict or Extinction Event, though, so that's unfortunate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but she's like a decent beater by herself, so that's...
She dies of Languish, though. But yeah, I like her. I want to play with her in the future.
Yeah, like she's in the sideboard exactly because of that. You bring her against decks that are playing like a Deafening Clarion, for example. Like a Fires.
Okay.
All right, I've got two more. So one of them, you know, I was kind of also saying, like, what's holding back some of the mid-range walkers we already said. So you already mentioned, like, Gideon. You mentioned Liliana the Last Hope. I was also going to think, you know, Chandra Torture Defiance has really dropped off.
Yeah.
as well. The one that I'm putting as my pick here is that Karn Sion of Urza hasn't really seen any play at all. And that one I always thought was a good source of card advantage. I don't know if there's just no deck that doesn't have better options, but it seems like that deck, like that card just seems strong enough that it should be seeing less than zero play.
Mm-hmm. I like Chandra. I think she's underplayed. Just needs a deck that can protect her, you know, really well, that doesn't want to win quickly, but, you know, likes to play the mid game. So like maybe like a black red, you know, discard deck, you know, like a Rakdos mid range deck, I think would definitely want Chandra.
Yeah, like Willy had was trying to play like a Rakdos mid range deck a few months ago, and he had a bit of success actually. But the issue is that when you're playing red, usually you are going to be playing Lurrus for one reason or another. So it is really tough to like give up the Lurrus for Chandra. I think that's mostly what hurts it. Because like the Rakdos Pyromancer deck is really mid range, it's not aggressive. But you got the Lurrus as a companion. So that's kind of rough for Chandra.
Yeah.
And that's for the Karn. I think Karn was not, is like, it was great in standard, but it's not better than other options, like for card advantage as a planeswalker. Where I could see Karns in play is like in an artifact deck, actually, because you can make the tokens really big.
I think Karn will see play once we get the rest of the pain lands and we can just play all our Eldrazi along with it. So, like, Karn's kind of missing really good mid-range artifacts. You know, like, we have, like, some really good, you know, 2 and 3 drops. We don't really have a lot of good 4 or 5 mana colorless cards. So yeah, that's where I would see play.
Like, the thing now is that this Karn has to compete with the other Karn. Like, the other Karn is really good. Yeah. You have a tough bar to clear.
The Wishboard Karn.
Yeah.
Maybe we can find a way to play both someday. You know, if there's a mono green planeswalkers deck that doesn't run green or something like
tribal.
That.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. So last one I've got is just another deck that's been doing good in standard and has been pretty popular even after it got some bans. Is, you know, Felidar Retreat / Skute Swarm. So kind of those like Landfall Matters decks. Just haven't seen that really played at all, and I'm wondering if there's any way to go there. You know, we could still play Omnath with it.
Yeah, like Felidar Retreat saw a lot of play in the Omnath deck in Pioneer before the Uroban, like when the deck basically died off. But like it was really potent in that shell. And I'm not sure like if the deck's still viable or not, but like it was a really, really good home. So if that deck gets revived somehow, because you're playing like the Growth Spirals, you're playing Escape the Wilds, and this card was really threatening, especially with Kainhith. You could give all the tokens haste.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah, definitely a powerful card.
Okay, maybe something to try building around, or maybe it'll get something in the future, but definitely.
I died many times to this card when they played like the Genesis Ultimatum and put like 2 into play with a bunch of lands. It was disgusting.
Ooh. All right, that's probably the end of my list. I'm going to pass it over to Claudio. You know, maybe we'll have less to say about yours other than, yep, that should definitely be seeing played.
Yeah, I trust your...
I tried to go quick.
Yeah, like, I tried to take a look at Modern to see what cards he played there that are legal in Pioneer, but are missing something. And I asked a bunch of my friends that play a lot of Pioneer what cards they think should see play. They gave me some good suggestions. So, like, the first one I have is Deathrite Shaman. Like, the card's banned everywhere, but doesn't see playing Pioneer right now.
Yep.
And, like, the most obvious home for me is Rogues.
Is it a rogue?
Yeah.
It's a shaman.
I like it. It's not a rogue, but you is the only deck that can make mana, make Deathrite Shaman make mana every turn consistently. Because you're you're milling your opponent every turn, so you're going to have that land in the graveyard. And it's a burn spell as well, like it gives you reach. So I don't know what you guys think.
Yeah, I think...
Yeah, I have played it. I have played Rogues with Deathrite Shaman in it. I really like it in that deck, and I just think that deck's missing a little bit of something to put it over the edge.
Yeah, Like, because we don't have fetches, we just need a deck that can consistently fill their yard. And like you said, Rogues is a perfect fit.
Or it needs something else that will give us a couple cards in the yard. You know, something like a sleight of hand that's going to put a couple cards in the yard and let us, you know, let us play him ourself.
Yeah.
Yeah, like if your deck maybe is playing something like a good version of Green Flayer, if that ever gets printed, something like that. Satyr Wayfinder, like those kind of things could help the Fred Shamsi play.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah, so next I have the Eldrazi cards, like Tufnot Seer and Red Smasher. And as a side note, like the Karn and Mystic Forge, someone suggested that because they play a lot of Eldrazi Throne in Modern. So those cards are really good in that archetype.
So, yeah, like I said, I want to play them. I don't feel like we have enough colorless sources to play them, though.
We've got some good colorless lands. Maybe what we're missing is like the removal. I mean, I guess you could play black and colorless, but
I think we need.
Yeah,
I don't know if, for example, Eldrazi Temple would be over the line for a Pioneer, but you need something that rewards you for playing a colorless deck.
I was gonna say we also kind of need some mana rocks. We don't really have good mana rocks.
Yeah, Mindstone would be like a good card for a deck like this, for example.
Yeah.
It's something to do on turn 2 and turn 3 before you've got to your Thought Knots here.
Yeah.
Because like we saw like a lot of Eldrazi decks over the years in Modern, so and the cards are definitely powerful. Like there was basically every color combination possible. Like Bunt, Head Green, just colorless Eldrazi. And we are seeing like colorless payoffs being printed, like in Zendikar we had the Forsaken Monument. So maybe if they print more cards like that in the future, the Eldrazi deck could be viable.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Okay, so next I have Hardened Scales. The archetype that suffered the most from the Heliod ban, because it got the its best card banned. In Walking Ballista,
I thought about this one too, and it seems like it's less that it didn't see play and more that it had a.
It was actually seen play. It was a good deck, but it suffered. Because of the Heliod deck. Yeah.
I mean, I think it could still see play.
Oh yeah, you know, you just need another payoff that's kind of that lets you interact with creatures, like Ballista did.
Definitely the interactions. What's missing?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so another good payoff card.
Because we are seeing like a lot of good counters, synergy cards being printed, but the thing that Ballista did can't be replaced so easily.
Yeah. I mean, I'm trying to break it on Simic Ascendancy.
Yeah, I don't know about that one.
Yeah, too slow. Too janky. Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, I think that one has a lot of potential. It's just like one printing away because like the core is there. Like, you have a lot of the good stuff. You have now Conclave Mentor even, because you can now play Green-White. So keep an eye open for that one. So next I have Ulamog and Ugin. And I have this grouped as, like, as a heavy ramp strategy, because, like, in Pioneer, we have Mono Green Devotion as, a ramp deck. But you don't have like the classic ramp deck that's fetching lands out of the deck and putting them to play with cards like Cultivate and stuff. So we don't have that, a deck like that. Like this kind of.
I think the way I've. Oh, sorry.
Like a deck like this could support like that arc we talked about earlier. So I don't. But I don't know what it's missing.
Yeah, I think the way I've been looking at the mono green planeswalker deck recently is that it's kind of just a tempo deck. You know, it's ramping, but it's only ramping to like 5 mana and ending there. You know, it's playing a 4 mana or a 5 mana planeswalker, and that's how it's winning the game. It's not going up to 7, 8, 10, 13 mana.
Yeah, like they play Ulamog to fetch with Vivian, but that's because they're trying to abuse Nyctos. So they're not trying to ramp there like the fairway, if we could say something like that.
Yeah, I'm.
So would a Farseek be enough to make a difference? You know, like a 2 mana wild growth effect?
Yeah, I could say that. Or you could, like, if they print, like, artifact rocks, like the one the Mindstone we talked about, I think that would have a deck like this in play.
Didn't we get a Wild Growth effect in Strixhaven?
It's more of a mana dork than it is a Wild
Growth. Yeah, it's a mana dork. It's a
land, but it's a creature.
It's like the right way to see it about the card. Because it can get sealed.
Yeah. So I was going to say, I'm kind of disappointed, you know, that Ulamog and Ugin don't see more play. I mean, Ugin seems so good against, like, cards like... or decks like Niv-Mizzet. You know, we have so many multicolor decks these days. It would just totally wipe everyone's board.
Yeah, like Ulamog and Ugin are like the ultimate go big cards.
Hmm.
Yeah.
And we don't have, like we said, we don't have Aetherworks Marvel, which was one of the other decks that was kind of abusing both Ulamog and Ugin a lot. So maybe that just needs better cards to... needs to become more consistent, maybe. If you can make Aetherworks Marvel more consistent, I think Ulamog and Ugin will definitely make a good
like, comeback. A way to ramp Ulamog out is the Forsaken Monument. So if you can make a deck work with that card, because mm-hmm. like it doubles your mana, colorless mana sources.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, like I said, I think we need more Mana Rocks. Mm-hmm. One or two more Mana Rocks would do it. Alright, next. All right.
So next I have History of Benaga and Legion's Landing, like as token payoffs. These cards kind of saw play in Boros Winota at some point, like because like you have a good way of paying off tokens there, but those decks died off. So for I would like to see those cards in play because I like them a lot. I think Legion's Landing is a extremely good card. Gives you staying power, it helps you. So it's a shame that's not seeing that much play right now.
I mean, I played it before in, like, Bushwhacker decks. So I think it, you know, tokens just needs a little bit more payoff, I think.
Yeah, I think go-wide strategies in general need some more payoff.
Yeah, they don't really have anything that can, like, really help them get around
but board wipes. We are seeing some cards that help decks like those. For example, the Shoulder of the Scalds. That card is extremely powerful, and it could be right at home in a deck like this.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
That's four mana, right? The Showdowns of the Scald?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
But like it, plus it's, one, plus one. Yeah, it helps you spread counters around to make your tokens bigger.
Yeah, yeah. Man, I want to play Gideon instead of that at four mana, though.
you could play both. You could be greedy. Yeah, so those cards all play in standard. And we always like to have like the cards that all play in standard see some play in the older formats. So let's hope for that. Next one, I have one that saw a lot of play when companions were unnerfed, but after the companion nerf, it stops in play. And that card is Rally of the Ancestors.
Hmm.
Like the reanimation deck. That deck was actually one of the best decks in Pioneer for a month or two. And like because you had Fiend Artisan as a new addition, you have like giant creatures and combo kill people. Mm-hmm.
I think the biggest problem with this is like again we need a better mana dork. You know, something that you can kind of, you know, use to play. You know, your big payoff quicker. Because I think it's just kind of too slow for Pioneer. It's like one turn too slow. We have a lot of the enablers.
Yeah, like the deck, I think that what the deck needs to work is Blood Artist. No, it's not Blood Artist. What's the name of the card? It's the one mana vampire that lets you sacrifice creatures.
Oh, Painseer is probably the one that would help.
Painseer, you said, yeah.
Yeah.
Or even better would be Carrion Feeder. If we can
get Carrion Feeder. Yeah, you need a 1-mana sacrifice out of it because Card Aristocrat is 2 colors and it's slow. But like the deck is out there. I think it really needs the 1-mana sac output to be good.
We have basically like 4 Blood Artists now because we have Zulaport and we have the new one that was printed. Whenever you gain life, you also drain a life from your opponent. So
the vampire, yeah.
Yeah, so
because you don't need to rally for a lot because it's only for two because our creatures are cheap anyway because you're running lures. So
okay.
Yeah.
So you need 4 mana.
And yeah,
fills graveyard.
Yeah, you need 4 mana, or they could. They also play the Convoke one. What's the name of the cards?
Return to the Ranks.
Yeah, Return to the Ranks.
Yeah.
That's really cheap to cast as well.
Has anybody tried? I mean, well, yeah, because of the nerf you said. Never mind.
I mean, I think if you remember last set, I was trying, you know, those two plus Rise of the Dreadmarn, and it was kind of just a fun deck. I don't think I ever went too far with it.
Yeah. It's missing one or two cards.
Or like another payoff, sacrifice payoff, like something like, not the exact card, but something like Bridge from Below, that heavily paid off sacrificing like your creatures.
Hmm.
Yeah, but keep an eye out for this one. Like it's incredibly powerful, and it just needing one or two pieces to break out. It.
Yeah, I agree. I think so.
Okay,
we have a lot of good enablers.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, like Stitcher Supplier is one of the best cards that an enabling graveyard strategies ever printed. So
yeah.
Okay, so next one I have another graveyard deck. And it's Champion of Wits / Godfather's Gift. Now that the Fed is banned, you don't get punished by putting the Godfather's Gift into play. So I think that deck actually should be seeing more play right now. Because I think so, it's probably.
So I'm a big fan of. I love God Pharaoh's Gift. I've got a few versions of it I was trying last season. I should probably try them now, you know, with Teferi banned and everything. It's a card that I've always kind of loved. I loved it in Standard. Maybe I should try brewing those just a little bit more, get to play a little bit more on Arena and see if I can get them to work.
Yeah, yeah, and you can try like the different versions with Refurbish or the Gates. Not sure which one would be better.
So I was actually brewing up a deck with a new 5 mana elephant. The was it Quintorius?
Oh no.
So whenever a creature leaves the graveyard, basically you get a 3/2 token. And basically whenever you are exiling one of your creatures to eternalize them, you would get a 3/2 token. So that was an idea I had. I think there's some cool cards. There's some more interactions now that we didn't have before that, you know, could work with God Pharaoh's Gift as well.
Yeah, basically you have Agent of Treachery. That's the big one. I think.
Yeah.
Just stealing people's lands, yeah.
So good. I like it. So I definitely think it needs another chance.
Yeah.
Here, I think I had played this one. I'm posting a deck list. I think I played this in one league, and it didn't do amazing. But yeah, it's something we got to work with. I think that there's a lot of different ways to go with it, so you kind of have to look at all of the different possibilities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because like in Pioneer, there's a bunch of decks that all the pieces are there, but the decks are undiscovered. You saw saw this with the Giant deck. Like all the pieces were there, nothing new was printed, but people just started playing the deck and it was good. Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
exploration sometimes just pay off. Okay.
So the next one. What else you got?
I have like the slow red cards, like Hazoret, Chandra, and Bloodbringer.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a reason for why these cards don't see play. Like they're really good, but I don't know what you guys think.
I've got a reason. I think that somebody started playing Niv-Mizzet, and you can't win the game with Glorybringer when somebody's playing a Niv-Mizzet deck and drawing 5 cards.
Yeah.
Actually, I disagree a little bit, because like when Pioneer started, I was already playing Niv-Mizzet, and I remember facing those cards a lot. I think the villain here is Luhos.
Oh, that's possible.
What's the villain?
Luhos of the Dreamdom, the companion. Because every time you're going to be building a red deck, like you are going to face this question. Do I want to give up the companion? And the answer is probably no.
On top of that, again, if you're trying to 2-for-1 and win the game, and they're playing, you know, Luris is always going to be a 2-for-1 against you if you're on mono red.
Yeah.
And yeah, okay. And that's the thing, when you're building like a Luris deck, by default, your deck gets to be more optimized and have a lower curve, so you're always going to be doing your thing. And when you need the extra value, it's going to be there always. So that's something as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But like maybe, for example, I remember Hazoref seen play in the Willy Edel deck. Like it was like
black red
heavily discard deck with Magmatic Channeler, Kroxas. So it was a mid-range deck that was a bit aggressive. So like that's a good home for it. You don't want to play Lurrus in that anyway.
I mean, I like that. I mean, honestly, I want to play them, but I don't know where they belong, so.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so you have one more?
So the last one I have is Becoming Mance and Temur Battle Rage. Because again, I was looking at Modern when what cards I'll play, and those two usually walked together.
Yeah.
And I was actually thinking about trying to build this with Dreadheart Arcanist. Like to one-shot people. Because when you become immense, the Arcanist, you can actually flash it back targeting itself.
So wait. So how does that work?
I think I think that where this card died was Fatal Push. No matter if you're a 7/7 or a 1/1, that's probably what's hurt this card the most. And as well as, you know, not having the way to fuel the delve quite as quickly as Modern. I do think it's a great choice though. You know, that was something that was really good in Standard. Has been good in various Modern decks, and you just haven't seen it make the jump.
Yeah, Becoming Mance is really bad against removal, you are right.
If we get a good hexproof creature, like an aggressive hexproof creature, I think maybe this could see some play.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe.
Yeah, like, or maybe for the other card, like Temur Battle Rage, like if Gurmag Angler's displays or a hollow one. Like, those are big creatures that don't die to Fatal Push. Like, those are usually the pairings, or Hooting Mandrels, Passigur.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we're also talking about, like, green-red again, which just hasn't done amazing as a color combination. You know, has trouble with Planeswalkers and things.
That's good.
I was trying to build as well, like, a Scourge of the Skyclaves deck, and that's a card that pairs well with Temur Battle Rage, because you can protect it with discard spells. But that deck didn't felt quite there yet.
All right. Well, I have one more question for everybody before we finish today. And out of all of these cards we talked about, which one do you think has the best chance of finding a home in Pioneer?
Ooh.
What's your choice?
First? I think the card that has the most potential for me is Deathrite Shaman. Because like the deck is kind of is that already like the rogues deck.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a good one. I don't mind that one at all. Yeah, maybe that. You know, I think that we all said some of the planeswalkers. You know, maybe they'll find a home. That might be where I'd go. But I like Deathrite Shaman. I like. That's a good one.
I mean, I think I would go Chandra, Torch of Defiance. I like the ramp. I like the damage, and I like, you know, the ultimates, and, you know, like, she hasn't really found a good home yet, and once she does...
Well, maybe that's cheating, because she's seen some play.
Some play.
Yeah, like, it's really easy for the cards that are good on raids to see play, because they can see play basically anywhere. It's the synergy cards that are a bit difficult to find a home.
Yeah, agreed.
Okay. That's good for me. You want to wrap this up?
I'm good.
I don't know if you had any more questions. You're right.
No, that was it. So thanks again for, you know, you guys coming on and letting me kind of explore the topic a little bit more, or explore Pioneer, I should say.
Hey, you gave me some ideas that I'm going to go ahead and mess with. So that's everything I could ask for from an episode like this. So thank you guys for listening so much. If you enjoy this kind of content, if you'd like to reach out to us about anything Pioneer, and if you want to keep up to date with what's new in Pioneer, we are at MTG Pioneer on Twitter. That's the best way to reach us, as well as to find our Discord, which is another way to get more in-depth with each episode. Ryan?
You guys can find me on Twitter at Yoschwenky, Yoschwenky. And yeah, please join the Discord, join the Twitter, follow us on Twitter, and get in the discussion.
And Claudio, if you want to shout out some your Twitter, anywhere else you want people to follow you?
You can find me on Twitter on CollegeHMTG. And I always post things about Pioneer, trying to drive engagement about the format there, posting what's doing well, what are my thoughts about Pioneer. And you can catch me. I was away from streaming, but I'm trying to make a comeback. So it's CollegeHMTG as well on Twitch. So I usually like to stream tournaments. So if you could give me a follow there, it would be appreciated.
Yeah, always try to watch when you're streaming, even though the time zones don't match up. But I always try. All right, Kevin, you want to wrap us up then?
Yep, that's going to be the wrap up to our show. Thank you guys so much for listening, and thank you again, Claudia, for joining us. This was a great time. I enjoyed this. I've got some ideas I'm going to go ahead and brew with after the show. Maybe I'll tweet you on some of them if any they turn out at all decent. You know, they may just end up being jank. But thank you guys for listening. For those of you out there, we are the First Pioneers Podcast. We look forward to being your go-to source for Pioneer information online. Signing off.